My grandfather, who I, as the oldest grandchild, managed to name Gumps, not Grumps, but Gumps, was a little man. He was quite small. He was an ophthalmic surgeon, so he was very smart, very particular and very careful about his work, but also quite a scholar. He did things like plotted when Mars was going to come over the horizon and would set up a telescope and be sitting there drinking a whiskey and look through it at the allotted moment, and there would be Mars down the telescope that he'd set up. He used to walk from Double Bay to Macquarie Street in the city, up and over the various headlands, wearing his three-piece suit and his big sun hat. And in the 70s, he started learning ancient Greek, not only to read it, but to speak it, which involved all sorts of letters and communications with classic scholars at various universities, not just Australian, I don't think, about how it would have been pronounced. And then once he was getting that together, he started learning Homer's Iliad and learning it off by heart. And then later in the 80s, he did the Odyssey.
Sunday, the 31st of October, 1988, Homeru Odyssea Alpha, John Barclay. Honoramoi and Epimusa, Polytropon, Osmala, Pala, Blankte, Epitroiasia, Rontala, Ethron, Apersa, Polund, Anthropon, Idin, Astikainoan, Igno, Polada, Hugarin, Pontapatin, Algehon, Ketatumon, Onumenos, Hindusikain, Kainostan, Hitairon.
He learnt this off by heart, I think, as a mental challenge, but then the irony of being an ophthalmic surgeon, he had macular degeneration happening and knew he was effectively going blind. And the story in the family was that he learnt the Odyssey because he didn't want to be without Homer. Whether that was actually true or not, I don't know, but it was a lovely, you know, I'm going to learn this off by heart because I don't want to be without it, is a rather lovely idea. When Gumps was reciting this stuff, it was almost like he sang it. And believe me, when he was just speaking, he could kind of be monotonous. His voice was a very even sort of spoken voice. But when he's reciting the Greek, it was almost a singing. And some of that was academically driven. There's a particular meter. It's like Shakespeare. There's a meter to the Homer. Because we've got a whole set of recordings from when he was very hesitant and stopped and got bits wrong, and through to these sort of final ones where they're much more confident. I think just the meter itself and the sound of it makes you almost start singing it. It's a bit like almost like some of the Buddhist chants. They just sort of keep going. I mean, it's about 40 minutes worth of recitation. So I think he really started enjoying the reciting process, you know, the singing of the hymn of Homer. The first time I played the tape the other day, it was quite emotional. It was like there he was in the room with me. You know, that was unexpected. There's a couple of moments in the tapes where he giggles and it's lovely. It's like he's back in the room with me. And listening to the recitations it's kind of almost a view into his private world, because it's not like he sat around reciting it to the family. He did this for himself. It wasn't ever driven as a performance piece. It was for his own intellectual pursuit. My mum, thankfully, was the one who kind of instituted getting it taped. And I think mum and one of her brothers really helped Gumps to get recordings of it underway.
My dear Jane, this is merely a copy, on the other side of this, of the latest improved version of Homeru Alpha, Odyssea Alpha. It is not yet absolutely right, but it very soon will be. However, I am sending this updated, somewhat faster version.
The Jane he's talking to there is my mum, and the tapes got sent backwards and forwards. Mum lives out of Sydney and Gumps was in Sydney. I think the relationship that Mum and Gumps had was very close, that he had enormous respect for his three children. I used to hang out on the terrace with him in Sydney when I was a sort of naive 19-year-old, drinking beer and smoking cigarettes, and he'd talk about Mum and her brothers very fondly. And I think this process of getting these tapes right was not just for him, but for Mum as well.
Built errors, which are probably to the true.
I think we've actually got a snip of him saying that it was 500 odd attempts, because he was just sitting in a room in his house in Sydney, and so there were cars going by or dogs barking or kids screaming in the park, or there was the bicentennial year, so there had been all sorts of celebrations in Sydney for the, with jets. he rabbits on about that stuff.
I estimate that in the last 3 months I have made approximately 500 attempts to get a perfect tape.
Yeah, that was this extraordinary self-discipline and personal pursuit. You know, the I'm going to do this until I've kind of done it as well as I can, which is quite inspiring, really.
Most of the failures have been due to my mental lapses. A considerable portion, though, are due to slamming doors, tooting of horns, etc., and all the very many incredible number of things that can interrupt the making of a tape in a private house in the city area. It is just quite incredible.
One of the tapes was actually a tape letter to a friend of his, and he was rabbiting on about all sorts of things in this, and then in the wrap-up at the end of it, he was explaining what was on the other side of the tape for this friend, and it was, of course, a recording of, I think it was the Odyssey, not the Iliad. And he talks about how it's a drug for insomnia, and that if you close your eyes and listen to it, you'll be asleep in no time at all. He had a sense of humour that was quite dry. He didn't sing his own praises. He kind of almost anti-sung his own praises. And that comes out in some of the tapes, particularly in this, the sort of talking to Mum or talking to this friend about what he's been trying to achieve with this extraordinary project of learning these things off by heart. It's really quite special to me that our family has these recordings of my grandfather, because somehow sound is so evocative of a person. Your voice is the last thing to age. A voice is the living person, even more so than an image. A photograph is a still thing, whereas the voice and the laughter, or the just the way someone breathes or coughs, is just as much sort of part of who they are. And so the remembering Gumps, having these tapes, actually makes him sort of palpably present in my life.